Dead Podcast.
Come back, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello.
This is the Damned and Dead Podcast, a podcast where we talk about cryptids, paranormal stuff, UFOs, magic, rituals, conspiracies, woo-woo, yada, yada, yada. And I'm Justin.
And I'm Nick.
And we always kick off our show with talking about things from our last episode that we couldn't remember that then.
Right.
We remembered sometime in the interim between then and now.
Things we couldn't remember and eventually remembered. Usually with the assistance of our glorious fans.
Usually. And considering myself as one of our fans, I realized listening to the show after we posted it that I forgot to fix our first bumper in post. So this segment starts off in the last episode with silence and then randomly... in the middle of our conversation, that plays.
Nice, you know, just a nice little theremin jumping in there.
Forgot to fix that in post.
Well, these things happen. You know, sometimes editing nights get a little long.
That they do.
We're sorry. Please forgive us. And we love you.
Love you guys.
But as we were also talking, and something else we forgot, it was apparently our email password.
Right, we were going to go see if anybody emailed us at theydamnedanddeadpodcast@protonmail.com.
We sure were. And luckily, I use the option where it remembers your passwords.
Yes, because I try to memorize them all to keep my brain strong and sharp, and
right.
I forgot it anyway.
Well, you also like to make really, really long and intricate passwords that are very hard to remember.
Right.
So it's fun, and I respect it as a password, but as like a memory game, you're... asking for trouble.
3 out of 5 times I forget my complicated passwords.
Exactly. This is where the problem lies. This is why the notepad is such a good thing to have on the desk.
Yep. You got to have a note, a Post-it with all of your stuff on it.
Oh, I love Post-it notes.
The most secure place to keep it is right under the keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's ever going to look there.
You think, oh, I'll just stick it to my monitor. But see, you're going to forget that it's on there eventually. It's just going to, your eyes are going to go blind to it. Just gonna be a part of the scenery, and eventually it's gonna fall off, and you're gonna even notice that it's gone.
Yeah.
And now, like, where's your password?
Where
under the
password
keyboard, but like in the part of the keyboard that you're not looking under. See, you should have. That's why you put it under the keyboard in the first place.
So it's just gonna fall there eventually.
It's gonna get there anyhow. Just covered in dust and shame.
I actually worked at one point with a guy who had a cybersecurity degree, and he kept all of his passwords in an unencrypted spreadsheet on his desktop.
Wow. See, I only did AV for a cybersecurity company, and even I know that's stupid.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
That's real dumb.
So, with that forgetting and remembering stuff,
yep,
past us, we now move into the ritual practice segment.
Ooh, yes. I'm gonna clear some space here today. Why don't you go number one?
I will head in with number one. I had a really good streak with my ritual practice.
Yeah.
Going. I think I got into the double digits, like 10 days. And even a couple of days where when the pattern started to break down, I also started to... I made sure I did at least one of the three things I said I was going to do.
Okay.
I did them.
Nice.
But then I stopped doing that like 3 days ago.
Wow. These things happen.
So now I got to try again.
Okay. Excellent.
I had a streak that lasted like 8 weeks, pretty much.
8 week streak. That's pretty good.
With only like 1 or 2 days in there where I didn't do what I said I was going to do.
Right.
And that was going pretty well. But... I drank too much one weekend, and then I felt like crap for 3 days, and I didn't do anything. So that's a new thing I'm going to do is not do that.
That's a good goal, to be productive.
Not do that anymore.
Right. 3 day hangovers get in the way.
They get in the way of
that's
a lot of things.
For goddamn sure. But you know, at the same time, I haven't had a 3 day hangover in, I can't think of the last time, and I still can't get shit done. So, you know... damn if you do, damn if you don't.
That's true.
You know? But
I also wanted to throw out there something I was reading about last night. I read a site called ecosophia.net.
Ecosophia.net. Brought to you today by ecosophia.net.
Ecosophia.net. Shout out. That's E COSOP as in Peter, HIA dot net. So kind of like Philosophia, but it's EcoSophia.net.
Oh, I see what they're doing there now. I was thinking like EcoSophia, like Sophia was the blogger who started this.
Right,
was like
Sophia super the Eco Lady.
EcoSophia.
This is EcoSophia, and this is a very interesting blog for anybody who's interested in ritual practice or magic of any kind, because most of what goes on this blog is a very serious, deep discussion about some of the most complicated-ass magic books out there. They're not talking about anything from the Llewellyn Press, or the stuff that we talked about reading in our teen years. They spent 3 years, the author of this blog and his audience, reading and discussing the Dion Fortune's The Cosmic Doctrine. I didn't really keep up with that. I tried at first, but it was way over my head, and I was just sort of like, I don't have time to think about this right now. I think I might have time to think about this next book, which he says is going to take 4 years to read.
Oh, boy.
The Doctrine and Ritual of High Magic.
That sounds super intense.
Very intense. And it is a book from the...
Like, are we talking like high magic?
Well, the author of the book is wrote the book in and around Paris in the 19th century.
So absolutely yes.
Probably.
Yeah. Because France, 19, whenever the fuck you just said, totally was like 420. Blaze it.
I believe so. They were blazing.
That's where it originated, actually.
Blazing all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. In fact, indica is French for weed.
Fun fact. Don't know if it's true or not, because I can't trust that smile.
So if anybody wants to take a deep dive on a real old-ass book on magic, you can do so at ecosophia.net. You have to buy a translation or download a translation free on the internet. It's a really old book, so you can get it for free.
That's fun. And that's a fun website sounding like it is.
It is.
Yeah.
The author is very learned and writes more books than you could even start shaking sticks at. You could even think about shaking a stick at. I mean, the guy puts out like 15 books a year, and all of them are like insanely well-researched, very dense, and I mean, saying this guy is a scholar is kind of putting it mildly.
I see.
And also, for the extra street cred, he spent like 10 years as the head of the Order of Archdruids of North America or something like that.
Ooh, Archdruid.
AODA, I think. Archdruidic Order of something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but he was basically the biggest damn wizard in the United States for a while.
That's fun.
In an actual, like, you know, recognized clerical sort of organization.
Very interesting guy. That's fun. That's interesting.
So I might be dipping my toe into that and telling you guys about it right here on the Damned and Dead Podcast.
The Damned and Dead Podcast at ProtonMail.com.
Now, how the hell have things been going with your ritual botany?
Oh, ritual botany's going. Got more plants. Picked up some tomatoes and some basils and some other things. But, you know, lost an old one plant. It was too much. We had to let that basil go. I think it was a basil. Yeah, just, you know, one of those store bought ones at the grocery store.
Oh yeah,
lived a good life, but it just ran out of juice.
Kind of like that Venus flytrap.
Actually, update on the fucking Venus flytrap. It's got new mouthy things growing.
Really?
Yeah, it's got three arms now that are like new and tiny, and they haven't opened up or anything. They look like little pea pods, like little green bean pea pods.
Amazing.
But I imagine they're gonna like flip out. Like a really, really slow hand giving the middle finger kind of situation. And yeah, going to have some new mouths. And hopefully they'll bite down 20 to 30 times before they find themselves to be useless and need to be replaced. As we learned last week, or last episode, whenever the hell that was.
Right. Yes, they get a little tuckered out and they just stop snapping shut.
Exactly. But yeah, so that's going well. That's still a daily occurrence, which is fun. But also, I thought this week, again, why do I always say week when I mean to say episode? Because, come on. Come on, man.
Not yet a weekly podcast.
Doing this for a while, can't get that one through the filter. What I'm going to do is I thought I would do a little, I'm not going to do a big reading, but I would do a little runic reading, thinking of the future of the podcast, you know, where we need to go, what we need to do, and do that live on the air.
Lovely. Love the idea. Let's do it.
All right. So I got my runes, my little rune velvet bag. I got a brown fur on the table because they like to sit on fur. They don't like to, you know, because they're little stones. They're little clay stone kind of things. So they don't like to hit anything too hard of a surface. You don't want to crack them. Cracking a rune.
They need some kind of cushion.
Yeah. They want to be comfortable. And yeah, so we're thinking about the podcast and boom. Ooh, we got some dagas. That's fun. That's not too bad. That's a
dagas.
That's in our first slot. That's like an hourglass sideways. Then we got Fehu. Fehu.
Fehu.
And then, lastly, Sowillow.
Sowillow?
Sowillow.
Sowillow.
So, today's runic reading is Dagas Fehu Sowillow. So, first, we're going to go to Dagas. Now, I'm a little rusty. You know, it's been a long time. So I'm using an app that I've always trusted. It goes well with the Runic Futhark book that I did a lot of my early learning of the runes with.
Mm-hmm.
So our first rune is for breakthrough, radical change, day, daylight, and dawn. So, Dagas, the divine light is guiding you towards your goal. Remain true. And good fortune will be with you. You are well protected by the power of the light. It will give you clear vision to avoid dangers. But don't be blinded by your ego. Man, I'm looking at me. Remain humble and thankful for all the good things that come to you. All right? So that's the first good guiding light for the podcast. We're doing something good.
Love it.
We're doing something right. We just got to stick with it. Stay true to it. Don't sell out to the man. I'm talking to you, Steve Jobs. Yeah, that's the one I picked. That's the one I picked. Because they can't fight back if they're already dead. So the next one, Fehu. It sort of looks like an F, but the bars, sidebars are going upwards a little bit at an angle.
Oh.
So it stands for money, cattle, and wealth. Not all bad right. things, right? 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 So, Fehu is Frey's rune, and he's the god of fertility, itself a form of wealth. It is a rune of unselfish abundance. I'm going to stop doing that one. Let it shine forth to lighten your path and the paths of others. You'll never run out of your spiritual richness, but don't waste it on those who abuse it. Discernment is important. All right. So, good fortune for us and all those around us.
We're bringing everybody good fortune.
Right? That's what we want to do. That's what we want everybody to learn and to be more comfortable with our cryptid friends and neighbors. You know, you see that Dueo out in the fields? Say hey.
Give a little salute to that Dueo.
Share some gardening tips. Maybe an offering of a bag of fertilizer would be good.
Yeah.
You know? And then lastly, Sowillow, the rune of energy and revelation. It's the sun. The spirit of life, the energy of the sun, completeness, spiritual awareness, boundless energy, strength of character, the capacity to learn, the gift of understanding, good health, and fitness. Although Sowillow is well known for a victory symbol, it can be used as a force of attack. It is a positive force because it is the natural power of the sun. Spiritually, Sowillow symbolizes clear vision and the victories of light over darkness, good over evil. It admonishes one to use the powers of good to vanquish evil. So, yeah, we are the sun.
Using the powers of good.
Using the power of the sun. I feel like Captain Planet right now.
And cattle.
And cattle.
to vanquish evil.
Right. Well, the cattle was the face. Yes. Yes. Exactly. You got it.
All right.
So, yeah, so that's a little rune reading. And I think what it's trying to say is that we are on a good path. That we are, what we're trying to do here, you know, it's fun and it's good. It's good, healthy knowledge that people, why not? Why not let them learn it? You know, let's keep spreading the word. The more people who spread the word, the more people who take the time to have a conversation about things like Mothmans, about things like Snallygasters, about places like Hell House, the more power these places get, and the more they can join us in our reality. Would you rather have Bob and Nancy Jameson? I'm just picking a name. Don't think it's any kind of ethnic base. God damn it. I'm not fine with the Irish. It's the English I don't like.
you and the
coming
English.
After them every time. Return all the things out of your museums to the countries that they came from.
Apologies to our listeners in the UK.
Maybe.
You can send us an email to reprimand
Nick. Yeah.
They Damned and Dead Podcast at protonmail.com.
Somebody fucking send us an email. God damn it. I'm sorry. I'm bitter. No, but the more people have these conversations, the more, like I was saying, do you want the Jamesons next door or do you want the Mothmans? I want cryptozoologies, cryptids, to be so commonplace in our reality that you can run into a Dueo at the supermarket and not think twice about it. You know, that the Snallygaster that you look up and see it swirling around in the sky, you know it's just drunk. It's not dangerous.
Most likely.
It's got a problem.
Yeah. You just want to put a fence around your kiln.
Right. Exactly. You know, Snallygaster proof.
Your moonshine.
Your moonshine. You know, do what you can to help the Snallygaster population.
And to raise cryptid awareness.
Raise cryptid awareness.
Cheers to that.
It's also... That sounds like some kind of store. But Ray's Cryptid Awareness.
Come on down to Ray's Cryptid Awareness. We've got more cryptid awareness than you can shake a stick at.
We're shaking a lot of sticks tonight.
It's all about stick shaking over here.
When has that been an effective anything, shaking a stick at something?
Every week has a theme. Every episode has a theme.
Yeah.
There I go doing the week thing again.
See?
Last so episode, easy. I don't know if you noticed, but we inadvertently, it was a musical episode.
It was.
The whole thing ended up basically being directed by Joss Whedon. We kept singing for no reason, breaking into song.
It's mental disorder. It is. I know it is.
No songs this week, but a lot of stick shaking.
A lot of sticks being shaken.
So.
Be they oak, birch, or my favorite, yew.
Ooh, shaking yew sticks around.
Yeah, getting high as fuck.
Me sticks.
Woo. Oh, man, we time out our tea sips at the same time so often. It's like people getting a chance to breathe with their ears.
Nice little bit of dead air for everybody.
Yeah,
we like to
you
provide
love
some of that
it.
As a rest.
You fucking love it. So what are we doing next?
Well, after our Ooh. Ritual practice, we always talk about...
We gotta rise for the
we
national
have to rise
anthem.
For the National Anthem of Maryland. Everybody put your stick over your heart and...
Don't shake the stick till the words come in. When was the bugle, like, has the bugle ever been actually taken seriously?
I mean, it tells people to go to bed, I guess.
It, like, annoys people.
It's like the taps thing was played on it. It's like, get the hell up.
Yeah, no, I like, nobody likes a bugle, but, you know, it's like, it's a respected instrument because everybody's annoyed by it. Mm-hmm. But
so this is where we talk about weird or interesting or just plain Maryland facts.
Whatever Maryland. We can find about Maryland.
Whatever we can find. We started off looking for weird facts, but
sure did.
You know, it turns out that most facts are at least somewhat weird.
Yeah, just facts are weird.
Yeah.
Which is weird in itself because what is weird but unexpected nowadays?
Right, and you know, you'd...
And what can
you
expect?
Any interesting fact is going to be somewhat unexpected, or else it wouldn't be interesting.
Exactly. Maryland, it's near water. That's not interesting because it's not. Well, it actually is kind of interesting, but it isn't.
The
Maryland, it's made of land. Not an interesting fact.
Okay, this is a really interesting fact.
What's
because
that?
It's only partially true, and I think the author may not have realized this typo that they made.
Oh, boy.
This is on the factfile.org, Maryland Facts.
Maryland Facts, factfile.org.
Number 11. Maryland's Number 11. Baseball team is named after a poem.
Oh.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Oh.
Are named after a famous poem. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, I don't sport that much, and even I know that's bad.
Exactly. Poe is from Baltimore, and his house is now a historical landmark that is open for tourists. So, for our international listeners and people who don't sport ball, Maryland's baseball team is the Baltimore Orioles.
Orioles.
The Baltimore Ravens are the football team.
Right.
Which they probably, the name probably had something to do with the poem, because Baltimore is all about the Poe.
Yes.
I think we've even covered that at some point.
Yes. But also, it's fun because some people don't believe that Orioles exist.
Yeah, I have never seen, I've grown up in Maryland, I've been all over Maryland, and I've never seen an Oriole even once. And I think it might even be our state bird. Let's find
we're
out.
We're gonna duck, duck, go right now. And we're going to see if...
Yes,
duck,
it is
duck,
the Oriole. Is. I have it's never seen a fucking Oriole in my life.
Well, you're looking at five of them right now.
Icterus galbula, the official Maryland bird.
Yeah. It looks like, you know, it's a bird.
How come I've never seen a fucking Oriole anywhere? I mean, the
top,
is it...
it's the head and the back are black and the wings are black with white stripes and then the breast and tail are sort of orange.
It's basically like,
you know, you've seen the Baltimore Oriole logo. It's, use your brain stems on that one.
It's like, I mean, where the hell do you even see a Oriole?
Where, see, but you're already Googling it. I'm sorry, duck, duck, going it wrong. Because you didn't say it in your speech. You got, where the hell do I see an Oriole?
Where the
That's
hell do I
how
see
you
Orioles?
Get the real answers on your Google searches. Swear at your Google searches, people. It helps.
So Oriole Birding is a tour company in the UK.
Well, that's
so do
not
I have to
us.
Go across the pond to see a fucking Oriole? A Baltimore Oriole is a fun bird to see while bird watching. Well, no shit, birdwatchingacademy.com. I'd have a lot
Birds
of fun if
fun
I saw.
Birds are fun to look at when you're bird watching. Yeah, it's the main focus of your activities. What about this Baltimore Oriole range map all about birds, Cornell Labs?
Ooh,
that
here
sounds
we go. This sounds
interesting.
Scientigious.
Ooh, that's right. Migration of the Baltimore Oriole.
It's wait, everybody just keeps calling it the Baltimore Oriole?
Yeah. Because you know how it is. Once you're from Baltimore, fucking Baltimore.
From early April to late May, flocks arrive in eastern and central North America to breed from Louisiana through central Canada. Nothing in there about Maryland.
Just keep reading, man.
They start to leave as early as July for wintering grounds in Florida, the Caribbean, Central America, and the northern tip of South America.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. They know how to travel.
We're kind of on the edge of the where they should be in the breeding season.
Yeah. And you know the edges are where the good stuff happens. So like that's why they're from Baltimore.
If anybody has seen a fucking Oriole, tell me.
Or just
I want to know if they really exist.
You know, like a flying Oriole or an eating Oriole, you know, an Oriole's doing any activity.
Doesn't
really.
Literally have to be doing that particular activity.
See what I did with your words there? Mm-hmm. I made a joke out of a joke. No, but seriously, if you've seen a fucking Oriole, like, let us know, because
it's been bugging me my whole life.
I'm scared for Justin at this point, because his disbelief of the Oriole is starting to bleed into, like, I'm worried you're going to start disbelieving in all birds altogether. Like,
birds are just a fantasy?
No, that they're robots, government drones. You've not heard this one?
Well, I mean, that's why they're, you know, they're everywhere. They're always kind of looking at you and
always.
Then looking around.
They're looking right at you.
They're surveilling everything.
And I don't know if anybody's ever noticed this, but when birds open their mouth beaks, there's a camera inside. It's really weird. But, like, if you zoom in with your phone camera, you can see it. Like, every bird.
So, speaking of birds.
This is not a lie. For sure.
Speaking of birds, I have lately been thinking about this symbol a lot because it is baseball season.
Okay, we're looking at the MLB logo, which is the blue, white, and red Major League Baseball with a...
This is, yeah, it's a silhouette of a guy playing baseball, and you can kind of see, like, the hat brim and the nose.
Oh, it's looks more Scylla dry to me.
But I'm going to do something here that's going to change your view of this logo forever, and you'll never be able to unsee it.
You're going
to
flip it down, through the thing down, flip it and reverse it?
Now it's a bird playing baseball. So, what's up?
Because his beak is open.
All I did was draw a little dot on the guy's helmet, and now it looks like a happy bird swinging a bat.
That's so fucking dumb. I love it.
You'll never be able to unsee
this.
Oh,
my God. That's now, fantastic. Yeah, no. I never want to see anything else again.
Now it's Major League Bird Ball. Once again, doing visual humor on a podcast. Hopefully
yeah,
it's coming
we
through
are really
everybody.
Good at this, y'all.
We should post this on the social medias.
Yes. I think you should save that.
I'll save that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Letting your ink dry? Really?
Letting that's what it says.
Your ink dry.
Bird ball, everybody.
Bird ball. This week.
On bird ball.
Kansas City canvases. This is the
Tarp City
Tarps. Tarp City Tarps.
Canvas tarp rivalry at its highest in the summertime.
Yep. From our very, very first podcast, which I think was just recording on the way back from Penzic on a phone.
Yeah. Did we actually record that?
I think we recorded some of that.
Holy shit. That'd be that's someone to put in the archives. Woof. Long lost podcast.
Woof. Long lost 4-hour drive talking random bullshit the entire time.
Basically,
time.
We talked about tarps and canvases the entire time.
Well, it was, I mean, you should have seen the tarps at Penzic, y'all. It was horrifying.
There were more tarps than you can shake a stick at.
We're going to run out of sticks soon. Going to have to shake some trees.
Shake some sticks out of those trees.
That's right. All right. So. He's our friend.
Welcome to the cryptid segment this week.
Main segment. Who are we talking about? What are we doing? Who are we meeting?
Bring him on in. The
Ladies
PG County Goatman.
Boys and girls. And all you fabulous people out there in the radio world, we are talking about the PG County Goat Man.
And as always, we start this section off.
Yes.
By talking about, before we even tell you anything about the cryptid.
No, you don't get to know what it is yet.
We look at the shopping results on DuckDuckGo.
What are we buying first? Because we're Americans.
We're a retail society, and we want to know what can you get if you're shopping for Goatman or if you're shopping for a Goatman?
Yes.
And apparently running shoes very important to Goatman.
Well, I think, see, here's what I'm seeing. There's apparently Nike shoes, Nike KD8, the PG County. Yes. It seems like PG County is a series of Nike footwear.
That it is.
Yes. Or, as I like to call shoes, hard socks.
There's also Runt, Buck, and Coco and the Goatman.
Coco and the Goatman.
Children's book.
Oh, is that the children's book that... hold on. It might be, but was this the book that Bush was reading to those kids during 9/11? Because he was reading a book about a kid's book about a goat.
Some kind of goat?
I don't know if that's
it. Buck and Coco and the Goatman.
Hold on. Look up. Look up Bush Kids Book 9/11.
Speaking of 9/11s.
Speaking of 9/11.
Runt, Buck, and Coco and the Goatman. Well, for anybody who's wondering, Runt, Buck, and Coco are three kids, and the Goatman is not a Goatman.
No.
But a guy who seems to have lost his goat to Runt, Buck, and Coco.
Right.
They're running away with him.
They've run off with this man's goat.
And what was I looking up? Bush.
Bush 9/11 book. Kids book.
9/11 kids book. Pray for Australia. 2019 to 2020 bushfire.
All right. How about what book was Bush reading during 9/11?
What book was Bush book? 9/11 kids book.
That's perfect.
Trek's kids book Bush was reading to.
Ooh, there we go. The pet goat.
The pet goat.
Yeah.
So not the pet goat man.
No.
The pet goat.
But the pet goat.
Pet goat book. Let's see what this looks like.
And it's relevant because it's a book about goats and a goat about people.
Often erroneously called My Pet Goat is a grade school level reading exercise composed by American educationalist Zig Engelmann. It achieved notoriety for being read by President George W. Bush with a class of second graders on the morning of September 11, 2001. So,
yep.
What if we flip this around a little bit and do the pet Goat Man book?
Goat Man.
After the Goat Man by Betsy Byers. That's another number one result, After the Goat Man.
Which
doesn't look very goat manish. It looks like one of those weird old books you would have in grade school.
Right. Like, or like your grandma had for you at their house.
Right. It's like, here's another boring novel.
Oh, hold on. An overweight, sensitive boy gains the insight and strength to overcome his problems through his search for and discovery of a friend's grandfather known as the Goat Man.
Interesting.
Yeah.
After the Goat Man.
After the Goat Man.
Several copies of that.
Ooh,
a lot of books about
pygmy goats. I want a pygmy goat pet. I want a pet goat. Ooh, Goat, a memoir. Audiobook download. I want to know whose memoir is.
Audiobooksnow.com. Brad goat. Land, Goat, a memoir.
Okay.
Reeling from a terrifying assault that leaves him psychologically shattered, 20-year-old Brad Land feels he will never be normal again. When he joins his brother's college fraternity to help him heal, he instead finds a newfound terror. Well, ooh, that's what you get for joining a fraternity, I guess.
Yeah, to feel better, you fucking ooh idiot.
I mean, I guess you want to find a sense of belonging, but do you want to get hazed doing it?
Yeah, do you really want to find your sense of belonging, like, after getting beaten up?
Can tell that we're not frat people.
No. I mean, I knew people who did a frat. So they were good, you know, some were good people.
Not condemning people. All frats. Just,
absolutely just not.
A little weirded just, out by the, you know, the hazing.
It's just kind of dumb is all I'm saying. Why you got to beat people up to make yourself feel better? What the fuck? That's all I'm saying. Love, peace, chicken grease.
And brotherhood, I guess.
Brotherhood, sisterhood, familyhood. All is good.
So do we have the book? Which book are we
about here? We've got books. I've got books with me.
So
we're getting into it.
This book that we're pulling the info from the Goat Man.
Yes.
Is called
Maryland Legends, Folklore from the Old Line State. This is also where we got our what did we get from the last one? Did we get something else?
This is going to be covered in Things We Forgot on our next episode.
Yeah, we used this before. We used this
who
last episode.
Who the hell else did we talk about from this book?
I don't know. This is where we got the Hell House from.
Hell House. Yes, yeah. We talked about Hell
See,
House.
See, now we don't got to talk about next episode. We got to do this episode. We're good to go.
And this is by, who's the author again?
This is by Trevor J. Blank and David T. Puglia.
Great names.
Yeah. Forward by Charles Camp.
Maryland Legends. So the Goatman section starts off with this crazy Bible quote, doesn't it?
Yeah. It starts off with two quotes. The first being, "And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord." Because it is all caps. "It is a sin offering." Leviticus 4:24.
It is a sin offering.
It is a sin offering. Lord! Why do they, like, it's like Lord is an acronym for something. It's like it needs periods in between all the letters. Like,
I don't get it. Is it that you used to capitalize the whole word instead of just the first letter and we changed that later?
Right, or God is so important that he gets all letters capitalized.
It's a very big word.
It's the biggest word you'll ever see. It's God. okay, but then the other one is also interesting. "Even from classical times, the goat has occupied a curious place in our most basic perceptions. The goat quickly came to represent beastliness, in which the beast without, the dangerous other, quickly became the beast within. From the earliest phase of our cultural heritage, the goat, creature of mountain forest, has been associated with fear of peripheries, woods, and forests. David Siddle.
Yes, David Siddle.
Who is?
The writers of this book drew heavily from David Siddle's work. He wrote about bans on goats. David Siddle is a geographer by training, but also talks a lot about goats and wrote a somewhat famous paper on them, apparently, that you can read if you look up David Siddle.
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy to find, which is really refreshing.
It is. It was nice to be able to actually find something legitimate without having to dig too damn hard.
Yeah, it felt good. Felt good. So, we got ourselves a goat man.
So, the story doesn't start with George Lezama, but there's an interesting anecdote about a college student in, I guess this was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Who wrote his college term paper for one of his classes about the Goatman legend.
That's correct. Yeah, the Goatman has been around for a very long time. There's Goatmans all over the world, all over the, you know, mythological landscape.
But the Goatman of the PG County and surrounding area, which is PG is Prince George's County.
Right.
And it is a area surround kind of to the north and east, I believe, of Washington, D.C., and maybe even north and to the west of it. It's kind of like D.C.'s hat, I believe.
Okay.
I could be wrong about the general
direction.
I have
no idea. We could, I mean, hey, we're up. Let's just see it. See it on a map.
It's a suburb of the D.C. suburbs, I believe. So
okay.
Prince.
But it's in Maryland, though.
It is in Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, it spans a bunch of Maryland. It's not in that weird part that's also Virginia. Prince George's County, Maryland. Looks like it is. Give me a nice line on the map here, maybe.
Okay, so it's to the east of Washington?
That sounds about right. We're looking at a map here of Westphalia.
Westphalia.
And yeah, it's basically due east of Washington. It's in D.C., so there's nearby places are like further to the east. You've got Bowie, Maryland.
Bowie!
Suitland, Kettering, Largo, Landover. Places like that.
Right.
It's a little bit south and east of D.C., and very, very close to the border with Virginia. We can see Alexandria here in Clinton, Virginia.
Clinton.
Brandywine.
Hmm.
So that gives you a little bit of an idea of the geography here. We do talk a lot about Maryland cryptids, and this one is about as Maryland as you can get.
Yeah. So the PG County Goatman really sort of got its start in introduction to folklore in a college course. So it's kind of silly. So yeah, we've got George Lisman, who turned okay. So he turned in his project in May 18, 1971, at the University of Maryland, and this project mentions very slightly a Goatman on Tucker Road, like the Goatman of Tucker Road, right? So he quotes this one person, an 18-year-old, Patricia Isidro.
Oh, so there's actually we know the person's name.
We know the person's name who he's quoting, but it's some 18-year-old from the area. This person was representative of the most common during my interviews. So this sort of like represented the amalgamation of everything he had heard from everybody else. And I'm going to try to be an 18-year-old girl here, so let me zone in.
Get into your character.
Oh, my God. He said, what? I love you too, bitch. Okay. Yeah, I've heard of the Goat Man. Of course, he died a long time ago. He was killed in a fire and burned to a crisp. Sick. Oh no, that's the other SIC with the never mind. I'll tell you what I know. Tucker Road is a long, tree-laden road that is very, very narrow. A lot of kids go out there to park, and I think that's how the legend got started. It seems... Sorry, the book moved on me because I thought there was a bug. It seems there lived an old man who had a face of a goat and the body of a man. At the time of the full moon, he would come out onto the bridge to ward off people because it was his bridge. It's his bridge. He always had a kind of wicked grin on his face. Sick. And called out like a real goat would. I've heard where cars have gone off the road because of the goat man, and that a few people a couple years back were even killed, and no trace of them was ever found. So I don't know how we heard about it.
Yeah, how do we know they were killed if no trace of them was ever found?
Yeah, that's the weird part of the story, but if you think too much, it hurts. Kids say that he always carries bricks, and that lots of cars have come off the bridge with busted windshields. And the strangest thing is not a sound was heard of bricks hitting glass or shattering of glass. He only... Sorry, it's so not an 18-year-old's like voice. I don't know this person. I don't want to speak for them, but this is not how people talk.
This is a 30-something's best impression of a teenage girl.
Yeah, this is... Bad women's writing or whatever that subreddit is. He only comes out at night and when the moon is bright. It's fun because it rhymes, so you know it's true. People say that he used to be a goat herder and that after all his goats died, he almost turned into one. Some of my friends say they saw his eyes glowing at them and one time or another, but no one really has seen him.
So, Just to recap.
Just to recap.
We have seen his eyes glowing at us.
Yep.
But we have not seen him.
We know that he murdered a couple and left no trace of their body.
Left no trace of the
murder. But there was no trace.
There was no trace.
Hence no proof.
So we don't really know that.
So I don't know if you, the fans, are sort of already getting a taste of what the Goat Man is. But I'm going to drop it for you right now. It's a bit of a scapegoat situation.
Oh! That checks out.
Yeah. So Lizama turns in this paper. And unfortunately, we didn't get to hear what grade he got. But it had a pretty specific list of what the Goat Man had in common, usually, in all of his stories. So, and in the book, they really make it awkward where they put the 1, 2, 3. So we're going to read all this chapter, too. It's going to be fun. So, each included most, although not necessarily all, of the following. 1, the goat man is an old hermit with the head of a man and the body of a goat, or the body of a man and the head of a goat, which is the same thing.
So it was just the body of a man or the head of a goat.
Or the head of a goat and the body of a man.
Head of a goat and body of a man.
It's the same thing. It's just said opposite.
Right.
So no change there. 2. Who lives in a shack near a one-lane bridge on Tucker Road, a dark, narrow, treacherous road? This is basically just a run-on sentence with numbers shoved into it. 3. He may have been a goat herder in the past. 4. During the one's liminal moments, e.g. full eclipsed. 5, buying like a goat. Okay, so we're going to go back there for a second, because let me reread 4 for you. During one of the moon's liminal moments, e.g. full eclipsed.
My God.
It doesn't say what happens during. It just says during one of the moon. Yeah. So.
I feel like that sentence was pulled from like a Robert Anton Wilson book. Like,
And
this might be a deep cut for some people, but the Illuminatus trilogy was famous for having like 20 to 30 pages at a time of a run-on stream of consciousness with absolutely no punctuation.
Fantastic. Yeah, I feel like this list was written a few times and he forgot to fix 4 to fit the new list.
Hmm.
You know? But that's okay. it's still a great book.
Absolutely.
You know, even when there are very strange fuck-ups. Six, he stands at the bridge and, seven, throws bricks or occasionally rocks at passing cars. Eight, he has damaged many cars and even driven a few off the bridge. Nine, the goat man has been killed when some children set fire to his shack. And 10, the legend teller has never seen him, but knows people who have. That's the kicker.
And I'm sure that no trace was found of the shack.
No, or the body of the shack, dead people.
No trace ever found of the goat man.
No trace ever found. No goat droppings. No rectangular eyeballs. So it's pretty small of a legend at first. You know, for a while it just sort of sits in this college and doesn't do anything. But then comes Karen Hosler. And Karen Hosler is a writer for the Prince George's County News. Mm-hmm. And she decides she needs to find some fodder for a Halloween article. And for some reason, goes to University of Maryland folklore essay file cabinet and pulls out Lazama's essay. Mm-hmm. And also, like a fucking dartboard full of ideas, somehow falls on Goatman and decides that she's going to not only write about this Goatman that she's only read about once, but also completely change the backstory of the Goatman.
Absolutely flipping around all the details.
Just does whatever she wants with this character. Apparently it's when you can write about a character, it's copyright shit.
Public domain.
When I guess Goatman's a public domain thing. So instead of being from Tucker Road, as the Goatman originally was, now it's on Fletchertown Road, which is in Bowie, Maryland, however you want to pronounce it.
Possibly still in PG County.
Right. But like, and then it's just different. It's from a different place now. And also, now the backstory is that the Goatman was supposedly once a researcher at the Beltsville Agricultural Farm. The story goes that the man experimented on goats. One day he went insane and ran into the woods. He grew all his hair until it covered his body. Other accounts say he lives in an old shack and beats upon parked cars with an axe.
Oh, so he's got an axe now.
Now he's got an axe!
And it's just parked cars that he assaults.
Right, so now he's just assaulting cars. There's no more bridge, which is unfortunate.
And it's a different road, Fletchertown Road.
Now it's Fletchertown Road, it's not Tucker Road anymore. And, you know, thinking about it, I don't know if you ever, is it the Billy Goat's Gruff? Is that the one where the three goats go over the bridge with the troll?
I think so.
I think I like the original Goatman on the bridge the best, because then you sort of get to have this backstory of like, oh man, that the one littlest goat went back and killed the troll and took his bridge.
It's kind of trolly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Troll to troll.
We looked up Fletchertown Road.
We sure did.
In Bowie. There is a Fletchertown Road. There's also an old Fletchertown Road. One of them is in Bowie, and the other one is in Old Bowie. So it's kind of impossible to know. If you're going legend tripping and you want to try to find the Fletchertown Road version of the Goatman, it's hard to say which one you would go to.
Right.
There was also, when we looked this up, we looked on Google Maps and we checked the street view. And, well, this was on Tucker Road, but I found, as I was looking for the bridge, there's no bridge there anymore. I think the stream must have been dammed up and redirected.
Damn.
But there is a spot where it looks like there used to be a bridge, and as I was turning around 360 in Street View, I found in a red SUV what is clearly a fish man driving an SUV.
Yep. This is real, people. You can look this up. It.
We'll post the picture somewhere on
you can see
medias or something, but
the
that is a
body of a person
with the head of a fish.
Head of a fish.
It kind of looks like the Billy Big Mouth Bass that sings.
Yeah, 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 on the wall mount with the batteries, but this is a real fish person. Don't be scared.
Real-ass fish person driving an SUV on Tucker Road.
That's right. I mean, Tucker Road's used to it at this point.
So we got goat men and fish people.
Exactly. So, from there, the goat man story picks up, and actually it picks up in both areas, both in Old Bowie, and in, general PG County, where it was originated.
And in the Old Bowie reports, apparently the description starts to get embellished a little bit, and it is said that the goat man is a large animal, like 6 foot, something like that, and hairy like an animal. Okay, it is. You did say it was a large animal.
Yep.
So I would assume it's hairy like an animal, and makes a sound like a squeal.
Makes a sound like a squeal.
So we know from our past episodes that most cryptids make some kind of a baby squealing, crying sound at some point.
Right.
So that checks out.
That sure does. That hits the list. And also that a dog in Old Bowie had been decapitated.
Right. Near the,
so randomly. Just
they did find some teenagers.
Right.
One of them lost a puppy, and they found it decapitated by the train tracks and knew instinctively that it was the goat man, and they went on a goat man hunt afterwards.
That's right.
This becomes a thing, apparently, for a while, goat man hunting.
You know, as it did with the Snallygaster hunts, and, rowdy teenagers love to hunt things down.
Right, especially if they possibly don't actually exist.
Right, right. It's a really easy way to prove your alpha maleness without actually having to get violent, because you're really hoping that it does not exist.
Right. Big teenage hobby on Friday nights. And so the big part of the legend of at least Tucker Road and most of these roads is that they were narrow, have no shoulder, and very dark, and not a lot of traffic.
Right.
But as I was observing the fish person driving the red SUV on Tucker Road, this is a big, wide-ass road.
Yeah, no.
There's shit everywhere there now. Like, there's streetlights. If you parked there, you would get towed away. Like, it's very busy, and there's ball fields everywhere now. So this is not your father's Tucker Road. It's no longer Lover's Lane.
No.
Not even a little bit.
No, now it's Commercial Lane. Just like all of them. You know, we're taking away all of the cryptids' natural habitats.
Right.
And that's part of the problem.
They can only exist in our minds now.
Right. That's why we need to bring back our Lover's Lanes and our hilltop view of the city parking spots where you can go to make out.
Right.
We just bring back make out spots in your local area because that will draw cryptids to your area. You know, it's like planting the right plants to get hummingbirds. Make sure your town has a Lover's Lane. Give your cryptid a home.
It's like a cryptid feeder.
Yeah, exactly. So what else happens with this guy? The goat man, where does he go next?
He eventually makes his way to Lotford Road in Mitchellville.
Yep.
Lots of murders there, apparently, that were blamed on the goat man. So the legend escalates quickly. It goes from throwing bricks at cars and living under a bridge in a shack.
Yep.
How do you fit a shack under a bridge, anyway?
I mean, it depends on the bridge, I think. Also, it depends on what your definition of a shack is.
True. Maybe it was a hut.
Maybe it was a cardboard box.
Could have been a shanty.
It could have been a shanty. Could have been a hovel, even.
Maybe it was a shed.
Ooh.
I have a feeling we're going to find out. So he goes from throwing bricks at cars.
Right.
To decapitating puppies.
Right.
Not very nice.
No, really steps up.
And then once the goat man makes it to Mitchellville, he begins just straight up murdering people, apparently. Or at least a lot of murders are blamed on the goat man there.
Okay.
A youth, potentially, I believe in the legend, someone's boyfriend.
Of course.
Is found under a bridge, dead from many, many knife wounds.
Many, 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 many knife wounds.
So he's moved from bricks to an axe to many knives.
Many knives.
Shirley Hutchinson of Mitchellville, who, when interviewed by the journalist we were talking about, just said something along She's said, quote, "It's a damper finding dead bodies in the road." End quotes.
Yeah.
It is a damper, everybody.
Yeah.
Finding dead bodies in the road.
Yep. And also, okay, so then in this part, I love how we get a shout out. And we actually have some personal history with Leakin Park.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, you know, every violent city has a place to dump bodies, such as Leakin Park in Baltimore, they say. And so when I first was exploring Baltimore with my partner Taryn, we wanted to find local parks in the area. And the first one that I Googled that we found that looked good was Leakin Park. So Sunday afternoon, I think it was, you know, like 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we go out to Leakin Park. We walk all the trails. It's a beautiful park. It's got all these cool art installations within the trees and stuff like that. It's really neat. It's fun to walk. So we do that. We leave. A couple days later, I meet up with you guys, and we're talking about it. And that's when you drop it on me. It's like, oh, yeah. They find dead bodies there all the time.
It's apparently a constant problem in there.
Yeah. So that was fun. I didn't see one. Pretty pleased with that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not complaining at all. But, you know, maybe it's not as bad as what they like to portray, but might be as well. But I thought it was funny. And what was the quote about Leakin Park? Leakin Park, so many bodies that cops are told to double check to make sure they found the right one.
You're like, is it this one we're looking for? Oh, no. Oh, wait, I think I found it over here.
No, one we want is 5'3". That's not that one. Nope.
That one's too tall.
Yeah. So apparently, Lotford Road was the body dump road for this area.
Yes, the D.C. suburbs area. Like, if you murder somebody in D.C., you're going to take it out to Lotford Road and dump it under the bridge there.
Right.
Or just anywhere on Lotford Road, apparently.
Apparently. Just once you hit that turn, go ahead and drop it off, they're going to pin it on the goat man.
Mm-hmm. Lotford Road, like the other two roads we talked about, we checked them out on the map, they are no longer narrow or dark.
Of course not.
Highly developed suburban areas.
Yep.
No secrets. No goat men. Hopefully no dead bodies.
Yeah. At least fewer.
The goatman apparently was later reported to behead a German shepherd. So again, with the dog decapitation.
Yeah, but I think they were saying that's just like they again remodeled the story. So now instead of a it was a German shepherd, like it was a big dog, you know, like just getting more specific. But again, same thing, but different areas, just repeating itself. But it's a different goatman, but it's the same goatman. It's a lot of hullabaloo.
Yeah. Yeah, and with this, you know, definitely no one has ever seen the goat man. That's one of the most important things.
Most important part, no one's ever seen it actually.
No
happen.
One's ever seen it. No one's ever seen him do anything. But
right.
Everyone knows someone who has seen him.
Exactly. So then there was what was the teacher's name? There was a teacher who then later on collected a bunch of stories.
Yeah, the teacher collected stories in the 90s, apparently.
Yeah. And this was just, again, trying to find all of the different roots of this goat man, you know, person.
And this teacher was collecting stories from her teenage students, I believe. Because this really seems like a, kind of like the Dueo, something that was really talked about a lot by the teenagers of the area. Probably more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Discounting the couple of public interest, you know, special interest newspaper articles that were published by that one journalist. But the teacher who collected these stories is quoted in our Maryland Legends book here as saying, in the 90s, the Goatman story is pretty much just about him mangling people. I hate when that happens. End quote.
Dooley was the teacher's name. D-U-L-E-Y.
Dooley.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. Just mangling people.
God.
So this teacher's students are apparently the ones who bring in the theory where the goat man was spawned at the Beltsville Ag Research Center.
I see.
That was apparently like a later on kind of a thing.
Yeah. February 1971. Deep in the basement laboratories of the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center, a young Gerald works late on an unknown concoction, angrily muttering to himself.
Every time. No, Gerald, we can't waste funds like that. God. Idiots! How can they not see the potential? I've come up with a plan to create a tree whose leaves grow into blank ticket sheets. The money saved on printing those ticket pads alone would save the department millions. And I'm so close. Well, funding be damned. I'll stay late and do it myself. We'll see who has the dumbest ideas I've ever heard.
As Gerald clickety-clanks away with his science tubes, the faint echoes of footsteps bounce into his ears. He turns quickly, knocking over vials of his experiment. As he turns back, attempting to recover whatever fluids he can, a shadowy figure slyly slithers into sight.
Hello, Gerald? May I call you Gerald?
Well, you can call me Dandelion if you help me clean this crap up. Nice job.
Very well, Dandelion. I need to talk to you about your work.
Ah, you've heard of my work. You know about the ticket tree?
Yes, we know. It's really not a good idea.
Well, come on, I've made this argument before. Think of all the money we could save on the...
Nobody wants that. Nobody.
I want a ticket tree.
Dandelion, we don't care about your work. We care about the work you are willing to do. We've seen your dedication to your harebrained ideas. We need that for something bigger. We need you for something bigger.
We who? Are you with some kind of super secret government ops organization?
Why, yes, actually.
And you want me to work on your labs on some kind of crazy experiment?
Yep.
Is it some crazy creature being created to somehow benefit a small group of wealthy elites within the very shadow government funding the research?
You're very good at this.
And the creature's going to inevitably escape, wreaking havoc on the local community.
Okay, leave something for the fans.
All right, sorry, but...
Yes. We need your gene splicing expertise that you've clearly shown splicing this... What is this?
That, my friend, is an elephant plant spliced with a Scantron sheet.
Absolutely useless. But your talent is undeniable. We need you to create a goat man.
Haha, well, you know, that's the first good idea I've heard all day. This is brilliant. A man's head on the body of a goat. Its thinking power only matched by its climbing ability.
Again, your ideas are terrible. No, this is the other way around. And we need this goat man soon. Like, by spring soon?
That's not much time. Would I be working alone?
Yes. But there have been scientists working on the project previously.
I guess I'll have to see their notes, but you're saying they're not anymore? I mean, what happened to them?
No.
Are they alive?
What would you like to hear?
Yes.
Then yes, they are definitely still alive completely. They just left to make other horrible monsters for the government.
So you're telling me there could be a career in this?
I don't... Yes. If you're really buying this, we will absolutely not dump you on the street to ramble about the horrible things you've done like a madman.
Great. I was scared that's what you were going to do.
Suspicions quelled. So, what do you say, Jer? Are you in?
Well, yeah, I can't say no, but I just have one question. Why a goat man? What purpose will that serve?
To weed out communists?
Huh. Bully, I'm in.
Fantastic. I didn't even need the mind gun.
The who gun?
Not a thing, my boy. Now, let's get out of here.
To be continued.
So escalating from, you know, just in the late 60s, early 70s, from basically a troll guarding a bridge.
Yep.
Gets a shack near the bridge and some bricks. Quickly escalating from there into nearby areas with puppy decapitation. And then a little further out with murder and body dumping.
Right. Got to dump them bodies. Stop caring.
Most of the murders that the Goat Man is associated with are apparently people's boyfriends.
Yeah, it's the whole, the boyfriend story.
Right.
The boyfriend murder, which is apparently like...
That's another urban legend of itself, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a format of legend, basically.
Oh.
So it's like, if your story follows, like... Yeah, there are all these like campfire stories and urban legends of like targeting different things. But if you target the boyfriend first, like the hook in the hand or the goat man and things like that, that's your boyfriend death story.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it always goes for the guy.
Right.
And the girl runs away screaming to tell the tale.
And, you know, this is taking place on Lover's Lane.
Yes. Oh, right. Yes. It's always on a Lover's Lane. It's always, they're so distracted because they're in the heat of passion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. Which is fair.
And then you find yourself stabbed multiple times and dumped
many times
and dumped under a bridge by a goat man.
By a goat man. God damn it.
And you're
Don't you hate when that happens?
No trace of you will ever be found. I hate it when that happens. Nowadays, the Beltsville Ag Research Center. Beltsville is somewhat nearby. I don't know that it's actually in Montgomery County. But this is kind of an interesting modern take on the story where, you know, the goat man is either some sort of mutant experiment that came out of that or is someone who worked there who just kind of turned goat and ran off into the woods.
Yeah, all my goats died, so I'm going to turn into a goat now.
And grow out all my body hair.
Right. You know what? I've seen Marvel has weirder transformations, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, now what? Goat was that Goatman Hollow?
Right. Yeah, this is apparently a Goatman haunted house.
Goatman themed haunted house, which that sounds fun.
So Goatman Hollow is in, let's find out where the hell that is. Goatman Hollow is a haunted attraction in Brandywine, Maryland.
Brandywine.
And it looks like it's pretty much a haunted house with some corny, plastic, creepy stuff inside. Looks like a great time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I at least see a mounted goat's head.
Yeah.
And a toy rocking a horse.
Toy rocking horse on a dresser in a shed, I think.
Yeah. That's just creepy because it's weird placement, I guess. Yeah.
Who puts a rocking horse on a dresser?
And maybe it's a haunted rocking horse.
Riverdale Park, Maryland. Hmm. So maybe Goatman Hollow is like a mobile,
possibly
kind of a thing.
Possibly
pops up here and there. I mean, the Goatman himself,
all over the place,
all over the damn place.
You know, and he changes his murder style. You know, because at first he kills somebody and he doesn't leave a trace. You know, mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden he's just leaving his bodies all over the road. You know, like he's a hard serial killer to catch when they do things like that.
That he is. Now, did you have any other goat lore that you found?
Well, I do. It's kind of goat lore. It's the original Goatman. Now, this is from a series of illustrated encyclopedia of the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
That I got called Man, Myth, and Magic. This is from 1970. So this is fun. It's an encyclopedia, like 24 books. And it all includes a bunch of news articles and just different mythical stuff. And it's a lot of fun. It's a really weird collection. And so I went to Pan. You know, go boy god.
Mm-hmm.
And did find, it's not necessarily lining up a whole lot with what we've been talking about, but it's some interesting goat lore, and it lines up with certain things, about like especially why we associate, you know, this fear with Goatman.
Mm-hmm.
So, This section is called Panic Terror. Pan had no part in the traditional Olympic pantheon. Olympian pantheon, excuse me. And in the 5th century BC, Herodotus spoke of him as one of the more recent Hellenic deities. No doubt he had been revered in the fastnesses of his native Arcadia long before his name and cult spread to the other parts of Greece. Pan was certainly a late arrival in Athens, where he was worshipped in a cave under the Acropolis, perhaps because he was supposed to have helped the Athenians at Marathon by casting panic terror onto the Persian ranks. Certainly, Pan could cause sudden panic among herds, when the animals, seized inexplicably with fright, would rush away, and panic among armies was also thought to be clearly the work of Pan, as his name bears witness. Herodotus tells of how the fast runner, and forgive me on this one, Pheidippides, Pheidippides,
I think you got it.
Pheidippides, was sent off to Sparta before the Battle of Marathon. On the way, he was accosted by Pan, who addressed him by name and bade him ask the Athenians why they neglected him when he was so kindly disposed towards them, had often helped them in the past, and would do so again in the future. As soon as they could turn their minds to such matters, the Athenians therefore set up a shrine to Pan under the Acropolis and established in his honor yearly sacrifices and a torch race. So, just from that little bit, you get a couple of things. You get the panic and fear of Pan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get the torch race. So here's I'm just sort of thinking about this, sort of analyzing it right now. What is a race when you forget it's a race? It just looks like a bunch of people with torches running after something.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? And it
sounds
sort of
a goat man hunt.
Exactly. It sounds like you're doing the exact same thing, but out of fear, you're performing the right ritual for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of interesting, how the same ritual will get performed. So maybe goat man is just, you know, if it is an actual tulpa, as it would be if it was being created out of this belief of it being there through all these hunts and everything, the hunt becomes the ritual. It's the same torch race, but it's not, they don't know why they're doing it. They just are drawn to do it.
Right.
It's very interesting.
And they, you know, they're basically summoning and keeping alive this interesting myth by performing that act.
Right.
Very intriguing.
Very interesting stuff. And that's the goat man.
So
it's pretty short.
One thing I like to do with all of these cryptids is kind of wrap up and parse together all of the main characteristics that jump out at me,
uh-huh,
and put them all together just to see how silly they are when you put them all together right next to each other.
Sure, sure, sure.
So one of the things we like to do is talk about what everybody says the cryptid looks like. So what does the goat man look like?
Right.
Well, the goat man has a long beard, looks like some kind of animal, very tall, 6 foot or something like that.
Something like that.
Hairy like an animal. The weapons the goat man uses.
Right.
Silenced bricks. Because we kind of passed over this earlier, but there was a thing in there where you couldn't hear the brick coming.
Right.
You wouldn't know that it smashed your windshield until you smashed your windshield.
Right. I think the direct quote was, you never heard glass breaking or the shattering of glass.
Yes, that's what it was.
Okay, god damn it.
Silenced bricks. And knives.
Yep.
Escalating to knives.
Yep.
Axes and hatchets.
Of course.
Clearly, this is why he needs a shed.
Right. Or this is what he kept in
shack
his,
or
in
shanty
his
or something.
Hut under the bridge.
Yeah. He's sharpening all of these instruments and silencing all these bricks.
Right. And hopefully not doing heroin with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
So, under the bridge. Damn it, Joss Whedon, get out of here.
No!
Where the Goatman lives. Snake Road, which was, like, I think briefly mentioned in the book, but never really panned out or any details.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
made.
Another just
It's like, Snake Road. What? Snake Road? Where the... Oh, fuck it.
Yeah, it's probably just like more of a, like, you know that really windy road up the mountain?
Right.
Oh, yeah, the Snake Road.
The curvy one.
Yeah.
Fletchertown Road in Bowie. Old Fletchertown Road in Old Bowie.
Of course.
Lotford Road in Mitchellville.
Yeah.
Tucker Road in Clinton.
Yep.
Also known as Lover's Lane.
Mm.
That's where he found all the boyfriends.
Yep.
All of these places, I think, were famous for having, like, in the 70s, for you to go out there and park in your gas-guzzling car and make out with your significant other or drink beer with your other underage friends.
Right.
That's probably one of the big reasons this legend exists. People telling each other scary stories out on a weird, dark road at night. So anyway, Tucker Road, also known as Lover's Lane in Clinton,
mm-hmm.
also known as Fort Washington for some reason, and the Beltsville Agricultural Research Center.
Right.
So then we have, what does the Goatman do? He's famous for smashing windshields silently for some reason.
Yeah.
Murdering boyfriends.
Of course.
And decapitating dogs. And he also tends to go around mangling people.
You know, gotta throw in a good mangle.
Mangling.
Got to get your mangles
Don't
in.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
It sure is a drag.
And he's been seen to inhabit or have, at different times, a shack, shanty, shed, hovel, or hut.
Right. So he's definitely tiny house.
That it is.
Yeah.
That is the goat man. Normally we tie up loose ends here, but I don't think we have anything to tie up this time.
I don't think so. I think we're pretty good. So that's the goat man, y'all.
Thanks for tuning in and listening to our crazy story about the goat man.
Yeah.
Very interesting cryptid once again, and we're glad to bring you some news of the goat man. So next time you're out on Lover's Lane, make sure that your windshield is brick-proof.
Right. Bring some, straw to distract, maybe?
Yeah, maybe throw out some straw or like a tin can or something like that.
I think
that'd be good. For eating tin cans.
They're doing the cartoons.
You know, if you're ever under a bridge, make sure to have a Kevlar vest of some sort.
Yes.
You don't want to get stabbed.
Some sort of...
Many times?
Many times.
Many times.
Yeah, or some kind of anti-mangling garb would be nice.
Yeah, maybe a force field.
Ooh, fancy.
Take a force field with you.
Top notch.
And if you do happen to find a new Lover's Lane that hasn't been widened and surrounded by ball fields and athletic clubs and ice rinks, maybe park there at dusk and make out with your insignificant other.
Oh, yeah.
And see if the goat man finds you.
Yep. Show him some love, people. And they'll love you.
They will love you right back. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye. Yes, 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 yes